to A Deeper Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will bring in a series of lessons out of the book of Proverbs. So get close to your radio and have a Bible ready, because we're about to take a deeper look in the book.
Stayed in charge. Come on, if Obama want to stay in there, he don't need to pander to the rich. He need to get Pope folks excited again. He need to get them folks in the gutter excited again. Amen. Folks coming up there voting, smelling like, oh, well, let me leave it alone. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Back in 2008, I mean, you seen folks coming up there, and it just looked like they just came out of a gutter or something, came out of a steel, came out of a beer joint or something. Up there voting. Hello. Amen. Amen. And a lot of these policies that they done put in force is to try to stop a lot of that today. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of these college kids, they can't just have a student ID to vote with. They got to have something else, another form of identification. So it's a different fight that we're in today. But when you look at chapter 29, again, let's look at 15 through 17. I want you to see this. 15 through 17, it says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringing his mother shame. Somebody ought to say, When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increase, but the righteous shall see their fall. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto your soul. So what do we see here? We see here spanking or spoiling. Spanking or spoiling. You're either going to spank your child or you're going to spoil your child. Children just don't all of a sudden just become spoil rotten. You got to spoil them. And the way you spoil them, you leave them to they self. And our children, they are left to they self. Love your children today and quit hating them. When the last time you whooped your little child? That's too long. Yeah. You know, this the honest truth. My mama would get out the car. She'd get off work around about 1:30. And she'd get out the car, and we would be out there playing. And she said, come here. Go get me a switch. I said, What did I do? She said, Go get me a switch. And we'd go get a switch, and then by the time you get to and put it in her hand, she'll be there and hit you, and dust it off. I said, Mama, what you hit me for? What you hit me for? She said, when the last time I whoop you? I said, last week. She said, see, that's too long. You done something since last week. Yeah. You done some since last, and she's sure all right. She's sure all right. And crazy me, she would have asked, now what did you do? What have you done bad? And I go on and tell her. Oh, Lord have mercy. But spanking are spoiling. You got to make a decision, parents. spanking are spoiling. Now, in the early 70s, Dr. Spock said that we ought not spank our children, for that will mess with their self-esteem. They're going to grow up with self-esteem issues if you spank your child. They're going to have self-esteem issues if you don't spank your child. Yeah. See, I believe the Bible over Mr. Spock. They had to come back a few years ago and say that spanking is a good thing. See, man don't know. Man don't know. And then I was reading on the internet about a couple of weeks ago, this psychologist. She's a psychologist, got a degree from some university, was saying that it's harmful to spank your child. I said, all she after is somebody money. A lot of these folks just got degrees and tell you to come on to them, and we're going to show you how to deal with your children. And you go in there and you say, all right, you're going to tell me how to deal with my child. Let me ask you this. You married? No, I'm not married. You got any children? Uh-uh, you ain't got no children. Well, you can't tell me how to deal with my child. You're going with book sense. And when you're dealing with kids, sometimes if it ain't none of the Bible, you're going to have to do this with this book. Come here, boy. Amen. Because them kids, I mean, that little book says, let me see what Dr. Spock said on 15, page 15. Man, you're gonna, them kids going to make you throw that book. Hello, somebody. If you ever had children, them children, sometimes you start wondering, who child is this? Who child is this? You get on the telephone, particularly if you done had kids, and you ask your mama in a roundabout way, mama, did I act like such and such? Hello, somebody. She said, yeah, you did. Hello, somebody. And sometimes mom, them, they have a way. You know, grandmamas have a way. They see the little grandbaby act up. They act up over there. Then they look at you. That's you all over again. That's you. No, no, it ain't mama. Yes, it is. That's you all over again. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But you have to make a decision today. Now, keep in mind, we live in a greedy society. A lot of these people are just after money. You look at the drug industry today. Folks ain't know it's going to be hard for them to get off drugs. Because now the government done got all involved. And so now we got to get the psychiatrists and the psychologists and all of that. If you're going to get off drugs and alcohol, you got to have a strong mind. You got to make up your mind that there's a God. And God has the power to deliver you from whatever it is. And if you make up your mind, you'll see the power of God come in there. But the reason a lot of folks can't get off because they're double-minded. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and don't let him ask anything of the Lord. Why? Because, see, God ain't to be played with. Now, if you're going to get off, God says, I'm going to give you the power to get off. But I ain't going to give you no power to get off this week, and then next week you're back on. Then next week you're coming and you're crying in church that you want to get off. God saying, we ain't going through that drama. We ain't going through the drama. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You got to trust God. And God knows when you're trusting him. Amen. And so you got to trust God with your children. Now, if God say put some on them, put some on them. And see, the thing is, we don't know what the fear of the Lord is. I say, we don't know what the fear of the Lord is. Can I give y'all a little bit of devotion this morning? Hold your spot right there and go with me over to Exodus chapter, I believe it's 15. This is the story of Moses now at the Red Sea. Moses now is at the Red Sea. And they get there at the Red Sea. Verse number 13, chapter 14. Moses said unto the people, fear not. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you this day. For the Egyptian whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more. They were scared of the Egyptians, as they was coming from behind them. And Moses said, just stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. Lord, open up the sea, the Red Sea. The Bible says they went on cross on dry land. But when the Egyptians got there in that sea, the Bible says that that water that was standing up on the side released, and it washed them and it killed them, and they was dead on the seashore. And look what the Bible says in verse number 30. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptian, and Israel saw the Egyptian dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptian. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. What do you think that word fear means? If you was walking through that Red Sea and you walked and you seen water on this side, some that can kill you, and water on that side that can kill you, and this ain't never been done before. You ain't never heard nothing like this here. And you going through there, you going through there, and boy, as soon as you make it across, matter of fact, you still ain't made it across yet. You still got water over here. Moses turned around once those people is over here. Moses put that rod back out, and the water that you just came through, matter of fact, the water is still out there, flood them, boom. What you think about God now? Huh? It's more than just having a respect. Oh, I respect the Lord. Man, you not only got some respect, you got some fear. You got that godly, because you say, man, that could have been us. I was right there just a few minutes ago. Watch this. Watch this, chapter 15. Look at chapter 15. Look at what the Bible says here. Verse number 14. The people shall hear. When they go into the promised land, it says, the people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of the Philistine. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men, the Moabs, trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. We're talking about fear. We're talking about folks shaking scared to death. Fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thine arm. They shall be as still as stone till thy people pass over. O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Say, when folks hear about this situation here, what we just went through, that's going to scare them to death. God's going to use that situation to put these people where we're going in check. And that sure enough happened, didn't it? Over in Joshua chapter 2, remember Rahab? Rahab said, hey, listen, I'm on y'all's side. I'm on y'all's side. As a matter of fact, save me and my family, because we already heard about y'all. We already heard about y'all God, how bad y'all God is. And I don't want no part of that. Matter of fact, I've been waiting on y'all to come over here and save us. See, that's the problem in the church today. Church folks don't have the fear of God. See, if you had the fear of God, you'd be here on Sunday morning. Yes, you would. If you knew that God had the power to give you life and had the power to take away your life just like that, yeah, you'd be here praising him. Why was it when 9/11 happened, everybody showing up for church? Everybody showing up for church. 9/11 happened. Everybody showed up in that little building we was in. We had to open the front door. Folks sitting out there on the porch. We had to open up the windows. Can they open up the windows? Because we want to hear what the preacher say. They sitting out there on the sidewalk. Putting seats all out there. We just want to hear what does say the Lord. We need to know, is he coming back this week? Folks were scared. Hello, somebody. Once folks found out that God wasn't coming back next week, they went on back to their normal routine. They said, we got a little more time. Preacher say he ain't coming back yet. Fear. Amen. That's what you got to do. Why is it that these kids that they are growing up slapping mama and daddy? Are calling their mama and daddy by their first name? Geraldine, what you say? What you say, Geraldine? Now that's daughter talking to mama. That's because you got to put the fear of the Lord in that child from day one. Amen. My son is, I don't know how much that boy weighs, but he's twice as big as me, it looked like. But I let him know, now I'm daddy. Now you see how little I am. But he bags down. He jump up out of bed. I say, Jonathan, he jump up out of bed. Why is that? Because I taught him that from day one. That's what you got to do. You got to know. How do they train an elephant? This man, this little bitty man, is in charge of a big old elephant. That's because when that elephant is first born, they put a rope on his leg. Then they get a stake, and they stake him out. And that little elephant, he'll walk over here a little bit, and when he feel a little tension on that rope, he'll stop right there and say, I can't go no further. And once he even get to be a grown elephant, when he feel a little tension on that stake, he'll come on back. Why? Because he was trained from a child. And that's what you got to do. You got to train them from a child, and you got to put the fear of the Lord in them. And like mama used to tell us, I'm going to put the fear of the Lord and the fear of mama. I'm putting both of them in you. Amen. And mama used to tell us all the time, yeah, you may be sure shot, Wilbert, but I'm mama. Yeah. Amen. And that's what you got to do. You got to put the fear of the Lord. And it starts when they're a little baby. You got to pop that little hand. Pop that little hand. And children keep trying you. You got to keep popping and keep popping. See, most people after two or three times, see, I done told you, baby, what you want to, you want a donut, huh? You can't give in. The hardest thing is disciplined children. After I used to whip the boys, I used to have to go in to the room and lock up and sat down, and Marion used to have to come in and work on me, doctor on me and stuff, you know, towel, compress and stuff. She'll tell you, because it was so, I couldn't understand. I said, now, I done told these boys why they do that. I just can't believe it. It'll drive you crazy. Now, won't it drive you crazy? Working with kids, it'll drive you crazy. But you got to just stay with the Bible. You got to have faith in the Bible. The Bible tells us that the rod, the Bible says foolishness is in the heart of a child. But the rod of correction will drive it far away from him. Amen. Now you gotta be careful on what you use today. Amen. Because we got a crazy government that is ready to jump in and take away your kids. And so you have to know how to flip the child and what stuff to use, you know, what material to knock them out. I mean, what material to, y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, the material that don't leave marks and stuff, because some stuff, a kid go to school and they see a lit mark and the teacher see a lit mark on them. What's that? Your mama whoop you. Come on, go to the office. They ready to take them to the office. Yeah. So me and my wife was talking the other day, and she said, see, you have to know how to do like this here. And see, this won't leave a mark. Now, if you want to know what don't leave a mark, talk to Sister Wilbur. She can tell you. See, she work in the school system and all of that, so she know how to get around the rules and stuff. She know how to beat them half to death without them leaving a mark. All right, let's go on and finish up. Let's finish up. Now, notice the Bible says, without a vision, verse 18, the people perish. Without a vision, the people perish. And what that word vision basically means, without spiritual understanding, the people perish. Are you with me, by the way? Where there's no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Look at what the Bible says. If you obey the Bible, it says happy is he. Folks want to be happy today. You know what the problem is? Folks want to be happy without the Bible. You can't be happy without the Bible. Folks are trying to be happy without the Bible. Listen, holiness brings happiness. Did you hear what I said? Holiness brings happiness. Let's say me and my wife, we got a happy marriage because I'm staying in bounds. But if I stay in bounds, if I step out of bounds, is we going to have a happy marriage? Why? Because I'm not holy. But if I remain holy, then we can be happy. You see? There's no such thing as happiness without holiness. You got to be holy. Let me go ahead and get ready to shed it down here. Look at this example of where there is no vision, people perish. Turn with me to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3. And we'll close with 1 Samuel 3 tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 3.
Sent down from glory. If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.